You can turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. We have been in 1 John for a little while, and as you look at this scripture, I want to remind you that the Apostle John is writing many years after Christ died, about 60 to 70 years after Christ died, and there is a group of people trying to teach things that are wrong, and so as he talks about it today, he's speaking about those false teachers. 1 John 2, starting verse 18, he says this: "Dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us." Speaking of the false teachers. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life." You know, as we think about this, I was thinking of a good illustration to start this out, but maybe this is one of the best. Let's say that you're sick with mysterious symptoms. You're not sure what you have. And so a good friend of yours is convinced that he knows how to cure you. So he mixes up a batch of herbs and roots that he thinks will be helpful to you. But you take that nasty stuff every day, and you keep taking that medicine, quote unquote, and you just keep getting worse. And so you finally go to your doctor, and your doctor says, "You were okay otherwise, but this stuff is what's killing you right now." And then he says, "You need to be careful who you listen to." Now that's what John is saying to these folks. He's saying to these believers, pay attention. God says to you, you need to be careful who you listen to, because false teachers seek to pull you away from God's truth. And remember, as we've talked through this, he's alluded to these false teachers that are bringing in the wrong doctrine about Jesus. And as he's talked about it, he's kind of hinted at some of the things that they teach. But as he writes today through the inspiration of the Scripture, the Holy Spirit rather, he is giving us some things about these false teachers that are important to realize. Number one, he says, the origin of false teachers. You notice he says basically there that they are of the world system. I remember when we talked about that, we said that the world system does not mean the people of the world or the physical world as we know it, but it's talking about this system that is full of sin and evil, that is controlled by Satan, that hates God and everything to do with God and works against God. Remember last week he said, do not be friends with the world. And of course, as he talks about that, he's saying these people come from that world system that is from Satan himself, that is controlled by Satan, that seeks to destroy anything that has to do with the things of God. So that's why he's saying, don't listen to these people. They're not from the right place. They're trying to pull you away from God. They are of the world system. Look at chapter 4, verse 5, is what he says about that. Chapter 4, verse 5. He says, starting with verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Look at this, verse 5. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. So he's saying these people are from the world system. When they speak, the world listens to them because they are of that same system. Number one, he says they were never really believers, as evidenced by their lifestyle. Remember the last 2 weeks we've said that our being belonging to God is evidence, number one, to obedient lifestyle. And number two, showing love for other believers. He says if those things are not there, don't be listening to them. He says, secondly, that they left the fellowship of believers in both a spiritual and physical sense. There in 2:19, look at what he said. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belong to us. Now, what he's not talking about what people do church hopping. They go one place and somebody didn't like the air, so they go somewhere else, and they didn't like the hymns there, so they go somewhere. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that these false teachers were never believers. They came into the fellowship of Christians, pretended to be, and now they're trying to teach the wrong doctrine about Christ. And I think we'll be surprised when we get to heaven as to who is not really there. Who we would have said, well, that one there, he was a teacher and he taught there and he was on TV and everything. And where's he? Well, maybe he was never a believer to start with. And that's what he's saying about these people. They left the fellowship because they never knew Christ. They couldn't stand the truth about the Word, so they left it. And then they tried to draw other believers away from the things of God. He says, thirdly, they never believed the truth taught by the apostles. And it's important that you notice he says, taught by the apostles, because he's saying what? The apostles received from Christ the truth, and they were to spread it to others, who were to spread it to others, But these guys left the faith that of the apostles. They never had that faith. They proved that they had a different spiritual origin. They belonged to another spiritual camp. They had never been a spiritual part of the believers. They never trusted Christ. They never believed what the apostles taught. And that's what he's pointing out. Pay attention, he says. These people, their origin is from the world. They're not from God. They're not from God at all. Not only is the origin of false teachers the world, but their allegiance is to the world system. Their allegiance of false teachers is the world system. Notice in chapter 2, verse 20, he said there, what he said there. He said in 2:20, but you have anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And what he's saying is this, I'm writing to you, you know the truth. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the guys that are trying to pull you away from God. To pull you away from God. Number one, he says that they deny that Jesus is the Christ. Look at the last part of verse 22. Who is a liar? It is the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Now that word that's translated Christ there literally is from the Greek, and it meant Messiah, the anointed one. The Redeemer of mankind. You remember that the Gnostics, that's the name of the group that he's talking about, said that Jesus Christ could not have come in the flesh because flesh is evil and spirit is good. He says such a man is Antichrist. Now he's not talking about the Antichrist coming in Revelation. He's talking about against Christ, literally against Christ. He says they not only deny that Jesus is the Christ, But they also deny that he had come in the flesh. And that's important because in their doctrine, as I mentioned, that spirit is good and flesh is evil. So Jesus Christ could not have come in the flesh, literally, have a physical body, because physical things are evil. And so he must have come in spirit. But the problem is, if he does not have a body, he is not the God-man. He's a fake. He's not really who he said he was. And the fact that he doesn't have a body means that he could not die literally on the cross for our sins and be the sacrifice that God wanted him to be on that cross. So everything they say has an implication that leads down to the fact that Jesus is a liar. Jesus is not who he says he is. Jesus was a fake. But we have got the truth, so you listen to us, is the point they're trying to make. This is the spirit of Antichrist, he says. Redemption is impossible without Christ's physical death on the cross. So he's saying these people are moving you away from Christ to whatever they want you to believe, and it's all a one great big lie. Nothing to it. The truth about allegiance is in verse 23. Look at verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, you getting what he's saying? Because I've had people actually tell me that Jesus really wasn't God. But they want to say that they're Christians. If you say that Christ is not God, you cannot say that he redeemed us. If you say that Christ is not God, and you really believe that, you are not going to heaven. Why? Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. If you reject that way, you don't have anything else. There's no way you got it. You cannot deny who Jesus is without denying the Father, because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Whoever acknowledges the Son acknowledges the Father. And by the way, this acknowledgement is more than giving assent to who he is. Because remember in the scripture, in Mark, where Christ was going to cast the demons out of the swine. Remember that story? And one of the demons speaks to him and says, please don't do this, Son of God. And they call him by his name. Remember, James says, you say that you believe that Jesus is God, but the demons believe, and yet they're not going to heaven. And his point he's making is that it's not just saying, okay, Jesus is God. The point is that you're trusting him. I like what one commentator said. It's not a glib saying, but a heartfelt conviction. It's a personal witness of faith in Christ's payment for your redemption. It's saying, Jesus is my Savior, and I am believing in him and trusting him as my Savior. It's not just saying, oh yeah, Jesus is God. No big deal. So he's saying these people deny who Jesus is. They deny that he's God. They deny that he came in the flesh. They deny that what he did on the cross paid for sin. They have nothing to do with Christianity. They're not Christian at all when they deny Christ. And if they don't know Christ, they don't know the Father either. And remember the Gnostics, remember what they said? Oh, we have a higher knowledge of God. We know God on a spiritual level. We have the mind of God. And let us tell you what that's all about. And they told their lies about who Christ was. Now, it would be great if the false teachers were satisfied to believe their lies and leave everybody else alone. But the whole point of what he's writing here is that their intention is to draw other people from the teaching of Christ to believe the lies they're teaching. Whenever you have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, they're there to convert you to what they believe, right? They're not interested in just doing their own thing. They want you to come over to them. And the first thing I always ask them is what he talked about here. What do you believe about Jesus? He was a good prophet, and they say all those kind of things. And the thing that will get them every time is, and I ask them this, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross and paid for our sins? I think we got to go. There's somebody else we got to see. They won't answer that. And they're proselytizing. They're trying to pull you away from Christ to this thing that they call salvation that is not that at all. The same thing is true with the Mormon faith. They come to your door. Jesus, oh yeah, he's just another prophet. He is a son of God. They even say, Mormons even say that he was a brother of Satan. Did you know that? Yeah, interesting. And so what John says, look, if they deny Christ, don't listen. Because they're denying everything that God has for you. They're not just happy believing that themselves. They want to drag you into it. And that's why we're talking about the intention of false teachers. Look at verse 26 and 27 again. I am writing to you these things about those who are trying to lead you astray. What's he saying here? They want to get you. They want to move you away from Christ. And then he goes on to say, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in you. What in the world is he talking about? Well, number one, the purpose of false teachers is to draw you away from Christ. It's to take you away from them. Turn to Acts 20 for a minute. Acts chapter 20, and we're looking at verses 29 to 31. Many years before this was written, the Apostle Paul called together the leaders of the church, and he was talking to them. As he was talking to these leaders of the Ephesian church, and probably John is writing to the Ephesians as well, he warned them about something. In Acts 20, verses 29 to 31, this is what he said to them. Acts 20, 29, he says this, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. That's what he calls false teachers. Go on. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying these people are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're trying to fool you into believing they are what they're supposed to be, but they are fakes. They're fakes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, go a little bit further back. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, Paul writes to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. And you're looking at verses 13 through 15. He says this. Okay, I got to get my other eye fixed. I'm in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. The doctor said, how many fingers do you see? And I said, oh, four or five. And he only had one up. But my eyes are better. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. He says, for such men are false apostles. Now that's what these guys that John is talking about. They want you to believe they have the authority of God, and they don't. They're false apostles. Deceitful workmen. Notice all these words. Deceitful workmen. false apostles. Look at the next one. Masquerading as apostles of Christ. What's the idea of masquerading? You what? You've got a mask on. You're dressed. You look like that apostle, but you're not. You're fake. And let me tell you, folks, there are a lot of fakes in our world today. There are a lot of fakes on TV and radio. There are a lot of fakes that want to say they are teaching the truth. And many of them have huge congregations. One of them has one of the largest congregations in the United States in Houston, Texas. And he smiles a lot. And I'm probably hurting your feelings because you watch this guy. And all he teaches is a lot of fluff. And that guy's a false apostle. In fact, he won't even say that those who don't trust Christ are not bound to heaven. And he won't say that these false religions like Muslim and so on are wrong. He just says they are sincere. He's a fake. He's a fake. And so many are like that. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, it is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, he's saying, miss 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising that his servants masquerade as servants of Christ. What's he pointing out? He's pointing out that their purpose is to draw people away. They have a pretense of being what they're supposed to be, but they are liars. They're fakes. It's all a sham. And they're very persuasive, though. Now, he talks about the protection that we have. Look there. The protection is 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. He talks about this anointing. And that's kind of confusing to people. You have this anointing. What does that mean? I know people will call the church once in a while and they say, "Is this an anointed church?" And I say, well, the building was never anointed. The people of God are anointed. They have the Holy Spirit living in them. The building is nothing. The people are what counts. And that's what he's talking about. The anointing Jesus gave us is the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. When you trusted Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to teach you God's Word. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to live the Christian life. And so his point he's making is that his ministry is to teach us the things of Christ. Go back to John 16. Remember, he said, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remind you the things I've taught you. And he's going to help you to learn other things." And then as he goes on to say, you know the truth. They have a lie. You've got the truth. Don't abandon that truth. Don't abandon it. But he says something that kind of confuses people. He says, you do not need anyone to teach you. Uh-oh, I just lost my job. We don't need Sunday school classes. In fact, we don't need church. Let's stay home and open up our minds to the Holy Spirit. Is that what he's saying? No. What he's saying is this. You don't need to be taught differently. That's what the Greek idea is. You don't need to be taught something different than what was already taught. And you sure don't need what these people have to teach, because it's against everything Christ says. That's his whole point. Yes, we need teachers. Yes, we need preachers. Yes, we need Sunday school. Yes, we need Bible classes, because we want to learn as much of the Word as we can. The Holy Spirit helps us to learn those things. But you don't need the kind of teaching these guys are bringing in. That's his point. You don't need that stuff. Get away from it. And let me say this, and I know you've heard me say it before, but if you're listening to somebody and their idea of what Christ did is wrong, you don't listen. Get away. If they don't teach what the Scripture says about who Christ is and what he did, get out. Leave it. Turn off the TV, click off that radio, walk out of that place, whatever it is. Because they are telling a lie, and their purpose is to draw you away from Christ. The Holy Spirit will show you that if you're faithful in the Word. Okay, so what do I do when I encounter false teachers? I've had people say, Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, I slam the door and lock it before they see I'm there. You ever do that? Peeping through that little curtain. Don't you know they can see you? Is that what you do? You just say, forget it? I know, you sick the big dog on them. Years ago when Stephen Trish had that big white dog, I never forget one Saturday, everybody else was gone for some reason, and I was at home, and I was fixing coffee, and through my window I saw these little folks go down, and they went to their house, and that dog came up to the window, and that dog looked straight at him, just right at that window. I never forget that. The little old guy in the driver's seat looked over to two little old ladies with him, and you could see they were talking. He never rolled his window down. He never honked a horn. They put it in reverse, and they left. So maybe that was a gospel dog. I don't know. But anyway, that dog would scare you. Number one, he says, look, don't allow them to influence your family. Look in 2 John verses 10 and 11. 2 John verses 10 and 11. He's still talking about false teachers here. And he's been talking about the right kind of teaching. In verse 10, he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares his wicked work. So I've had people say, I do not let them across my front door, because that's what the Bible says. You don't welcome in your home. And you don't say goodbye, because that means, you know, God bless you. No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, by this, by bringing them into your home, you're allowing them to influence your family. Don't allow them to influence your family. Years ago when we were in Birmingham, our church there, we had a lady in the church. She was a nurse, and her husband worked, and they had five kids. And so she hired this lady to do babysitting for them in the summer. This lady would live, he came in their house, and one of the Sunday school teachers started saying, Carol's kids are asking some things about the Bible. It sounds like they're getting wrong teaching somewhere. So I asked her, I said, Carol, this is what your children were asking. And it was wrong doctrine. They were doubting the Scripture. And I said, where would they be getting that? Are they going somewhere like a Jehovah's Witness class, or you have somebody that's come there? She said, no, the lady that babysits my kids is Jehovah's Witness. And that lady was teaching those kids that stuff. And I said, get her out of your house. She's pulling your children from Christ. And she didn't even realize this lady was teaching her children this garbage. And so he said, look, don't allow them to influence your family. Don't let them get to your family. And it's probably best that you talk to them, you know, out your door. Because if they get in, they want to stay there a while. But I've had them get in and start witnessing to them, and they can't get out quick enough. So don't let them influence your family. Secondly, warn others about them. That's what he said in Acts 20 to those elders. Warn your people about these kind of things. Warn others. Hey, if you know of a ministry that's teaching the wrong thing, radio ministry, TV ministry, whatever it is, and you hear somebody's listening, hey, tell them about it. I've got several people I can tell you about. One that's very popular, a lady that people like to listen to, believes an angel tells her what to say. And she's got a lot of other wrong doctrine about Christ as well, besides a smiling preacher in Houston. So warn people. Let them know. You might hurt their feelings, but you can keep them away from wrong doctrine. Number three, be bold with the truth. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You may think, oh no, I can't talk to him about the Bible. Just get the Scripture out. You know what I do with Jehovah's Witnesses? John 1:1-4. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, he was a good person, and he was a son of God. Their translation of John 1:1 says he was a son. The Greek says he was the Son of God. He was God. I bring them there and I read those verses, and then I bring them to Hebrews 1 where it says, God the Father said, God the Son, to God the Son, you, O God. And I say, now, who is Jesus according to the Bible? Well, you know what? I think we got to go see some folks. Bye. And they can't get out quick enough. Be bold. Be bold. Number four, witness to those captured by the lies. Witness to those captured by the lies. Years ago, we had a man, a family came in our church, and his wife wanted to come, and the kids had been to Bible school. They started coming, and then he came up to me one Sunday, and he said, I used to be in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I went out with him. And he said, I have a lot of questions. Would you sit down with me and help me to learn what I need to learn? And so we went step by step over their doctrine. Just took the scripture and opened it up. And he said, man, I cannot believe how blind I was. He had trusted Christ when he was a young boy, living with his grandmother in a church that taught the gospel. And then as he grew up, he got away from the Lord, and he was looking for something. The Jehovah's Witnesses got a hold of him. They pulled him away from Christ. And when he saw the truth, he said, I got to tell my friends that's still in this stuff about this. And he did. He learned the truth and he taught them. Be bold, witness to them. You need to be careful who you listen to, whether it's somebody who mixes up a bunch of herbs to make you feel better, or whether it's a false teacher. False teachers want to pull you away from Christ. Don't let that happen. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. That's the number one thing about staying away from cults. Get into the Word. Learn the Word. Use the Word. Don't go away from it, right or left. Stay in it. Pray with me for a minute. As we bow together, maybe you are in a spot where you're not sure if you're headed on your way to heaven. Listen, the Bible is very clear. It's simple. It says you're a sinner like the rest of us. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only one did not sin, that was Jesus Christ. Only one. And the Bible says because of that sin, you can't get to heaven. It says the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death and physical death. But it also says that Christ died in your place on the cross. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and you. And the scripture says you can have salvation through Christ by trusting Him alone. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. All these false teachers teach works. The scripture teaches salvation by grace alone. How about it? Would you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and make you His today? Trust Him instead of you. You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus died in my place on that cross and paid for my sins. And right now, I'm asking you for that free gift of salvation. I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you to save me. Would you do that today quietly in your heart? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Help us to be bold to proclaim the truth and to reject anything that is not close to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing with us? Stand and sing, Draw Me Close to You. Because as we draw close to Christ, we stay away from these false teachings.